We pray. Heavenly Father, journey with us through this season of Lent and on into eternity. Bless us with your presence, with the power of your word. Dwell deeply in our hearts and lives through your word of grace and forgiveness, now and forever, that we might sing your holy praise in Christ our Savior. Amen. I suspect in our gospel lesson, as Jesus had this encounter with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, I suspect that that was rather painful for him. Here he's gathering people around to proclaim the forgiveness of the Lord. He's come to this world to save everyone, and he's gathering them from the highways and the byways, and what should the Pharisees and teachers of the law react? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. How sad. How sad that these Pharisees and teachers of the law should think that they can judge Jesus rather than sitting at his feet and, what would you have us know, Jesus? It's almost like they're saying, well, you claim to be a Messiah, Jesus? Oh, you're hanging around with the wrong kind of people. If you really want to be accepted, you need our approval. We're the movers and shakers in Jerusalem. No, Jesus could have smacked them one. He could have squashed them. He could have thrown them away for all eternity in that moment. But no, that's not why Jesus came to this world. Instead of reacting with anger, Jesus comes to them with love, with a parable, a story, that he wants to get under their skin, go down in their hearts, and actually lead them to repentance and faith. What a good story to be on our hearts this Lenten season. Jesus' parable begins with two brothers. No names, all we know is the older and the younger. And the younger brother, kind of rash, brass, says, I want my inheritance. And so the father divvies it up and sends him on his way. He wanted his inheritance because he wanted to strike out on his own. He was tired of living under his parents' protection and love. And so he wanted to go it alone. That kind of reminds me of a song by Sammy Davis Jr. It's an old one. I don't know if you'll remember it. But the words go like this. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I've got to be me. I've got to be me. What else can I be but what I am? Boy, America resonates to that tune, doesn't it? I've got to be me. Like no time ever, it's more trumpeted in our society to come out of the closet, come out of your hole, break free of every stereotype, don't let any norm or convention, don't even worry about a moral compass, just be yourself at all costs, no matter what's right or wrong or how much it costs other people, just be true to yourself. Well, aren't we supposed to be who we are? We're certainly not supposed to be a bunch of phonies, are we? But what does that really mean, to be who you are by nature? Well, let's ask the young man. Huh? Let's see, young man, who are you? You're striking out on your own. Let's see, you demanded an inheritance that wasn't yours to demand. And then you quickly packed up and left the home that offered you love and security. And then what did you do with your newfound freedom and wealth? You went and spent it all in parties and women and pleasures and I've gotta be me. What else can I be? How did that work for you, young man? Notice what Luke records. After he had spent everything, he began to be in need. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. That didn't work out so well. Perhaps we can remember a time when we wanted to just be me. Get rid of all inhibitions. and just strike out on our own, no matter what it cost me or anyone else. How'd that work out? Sometimes our darkest days are preceded by our most selfish days. It's all about me. But God gave this young man in his parable a wonderful blessing, a life-altering blessing. Poverty. Poverty. He made his life and his decisions truly hurt. Notice what Luke says. When he came to his senses, a turn. And what were those senses he came to? What, he had no brain to think of before? He couldn't. The senses is that he remembered the compassion of his father. He knew he didn't deserve a place in the family anymore, but my father is so compassionate, maybe he'll just take me on as a hired man so I don't starve to death. And that's the sense that came to him. And so he set out to go home with a word of apology and repentance. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Notice how the pain God sent him cast light on his sin. And his sin then moved into words of repentance. He didn't go back to his father and say, there's been a downturn in the economy. This is really hard times. And all kinds of excuses as to why he's showing up at his father's door penniless. No, he comes clean and says, I have sinned. While he no longer deserves a place at the table with his father, he was hoping he could have a place in the barn. His sin, his father's kindness. But the story really turns and spins on the father's reaction. Isn't that what's so out of the ordinary, remarkable? It gives us the impression that the father every day looked down that road to see, is this the day? Is this the day? Will I see my son coming over the brow of the hill? Is this the day? Because Luke records, but while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. The son knew this compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. In forgiveness, the father wraps his arm around his son. He didn't wait for an apology. He didn't care about where he had been or what he had been doing. He simply just runs up to him and wraps his arms around him. Can we imagine what this might have been like for the son? Here he's crossing over the brow of the hill and he sees his father running up the road and there's a gulp in his throat. Oh, here's the moment. I'm going to have to come clean and explain what's happened to me. And this guilt is welling up within me. But then he sees his father's tears. His father runs up to him and he doesn't smack him in the face. He doesn't throw him to the ground and throw him off his property. No, he gives him a bear hug and a kiss. And the son's heart is melted in love. So much more than the son could ever have hoped or dreamed of. And there's a point to all this. Jesus is telling this parable for a reason. Our Heavenly Father is this Father. That's what he does for each and every one of us. He runs up and he throws his arms around us in his forgiving love. He kisses us on the forehead in his grace divine. We have destroyed everything and he makes it all new again. Our Father comes and throws his arms around us and that moves us to repent, to confess this Lenten season. Is there an ache in our stomach? Chances are it's probably not from being hungry. Most of us are pretty well fed. But there's lots of other sort of aches in our life, huh? Could it be that ache of guilt? Have we done something wrong according to God? No one else might know. Have we cheated someone out of a promotion? Have we lied to our spouse? Have we been mean and cruel to people who we could just step on and we stepped on them for the sheer pleasure? Have we robbed or deceived? What have we done that God would call a sin? Are we tempted to self-medicate, perhaps, in all this pain? But vodka and shopping and entertainment and vacations, they never remove the guilt. It just compounds it and makes it sadder and worse and worse. And so our Father comes and He wraps His arms around us and He leads us to the cross, where we can say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against You. Knowing full well what our Heavenly Father does, He forgives those. Or perhaps this Lenten season, our struggle isn't with what we have done, but with what someone else has done to us. Has someone sinned against us? Maybe they've stabbed us in the back with their words, their gossip, their slander. Maybe someone has cheated us. Maybe it's a car wreck of a life that they've given us. You know that terrible feeling when you're in a car wreck? Especially if you've caused it? That sickening feeling of, oh, had I just been paying attention. Maybe we have that sickening feeling because someone else has trounced on us, cheated us out of an inheritance, made our life miserable. What are we to do? So often our sinful nature will want us to act like this second son, the older son. He came home and the party was raging, and he got mad. I don't want a welcome home party for my younger son. He's been terrible. And now what? We just kind of turn the cheek and forgive and forget? Oh, he didn't like that at all. He felt he had been cheated out of something. And so also when people sin against us, it's so easy to hold a grudge. But that's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Our grudge, our anger will poison us. God would rather have us see that He is coming and wrapping His arms around our enemy. He so wants to love them and forgive them, and He wants us to love and forgive them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you. Forgive as I have forgiven you. And what might really help us is to see our Heavenly Father run down the road and wrap His arms around them. He too wants to lead them to the cross of Christ, and He may be using us to bring them there, to be His mouth, His hands, His feet. And what blessings God gives us and our enemies in His forgiving love. This young man, what changed in his life? Well, he came home and he had ruined everything. He had destroyed his relationship with his family, and everything he touched was destroyed. And what does the Father do? He restores it all. He heals it, makes it whole. He welcomes him back to the family. Sins forgiven, forgotten, no longer recalled and drawn to his attention. A brand new beginning, as though none of that had ever happened. And now, all these days, this son would be able to bask in the sunshine of his Father's love and protection. This home that he so wanted to flee from now becomes a place where he wants to stay all the days of his life. He gets to see just how big his Father's love truly is, that He would make all this wrong right. And are those not our blessings? We who have destroyed everything with our sins, God has come and washed it all clean and made it whole again, making us the very children of God, that we can sit at His banquet table and feast in His love and protection from here on into eternity. That because of the lowness of our sins and the height of His grace, we too can see with our eyes just how wide and high and deep His love is for each and every one of us. No matter if no one in the world loves us anymore, He loves us and draws us to Himself and pours that love into our hearts and lives. We truly are loved by the Lord God Almighty. And so Sammy Davis sings, I've got to be me. Fine. Who are we? By God's grace, we are the children of God. And we live in that holy thankfulness that he has chosen us to be his own. And so we no longer live for him or for ourselves. We live for him. That's what we're all about. It's not about us expressing ourselves on the canvas of the world, but rather us expressing the glory of our Savior, our Lord, on the canvas of the world. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, in good times and bad, work your good and gracious will. Give us eyes to see your enormous love, your bear hug of compassion, your kiss of forgiveness. Be with us this Lenten season that we might rejoice at the favor you have poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.